Welcome to Forever Blue Shirts Radio, powered by ForeverBlueShirts.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Forever Blue Shirts Radio. We are your hosts. I am Russell Hartman, and joining me this week, of course, is Jean-Luc Shapiro. JL, how you doing this week, my friend?
I'm good. When you say children of all ages, are you including me that's either 5 years old or 55? I just got my first pair. I got my first pair of orthopedics today, so I think I'm getting closer to our fearless leader's age, which is like 160. But yes, I'm good, Russell. Thanks for having us here.
Good to hear from you, buddy. Of course, of course. And our other host, Mr. Kevin Krupe. Kevin, how you doing? You're sitting there. You look a little sad. What's going on in the life of Kevin right now?
I just realized, like, they're kind of like stopping the circus when you said that, like, children of all ages. And it's like, oh man, I loved the circus when I was a kid. But I'm doing good. I mean, besides, like, what's going on with the Rangers, I think everything's pretty good.
Well, I mean, there's good and bad, right? And that's what we're here to talk about this week.
I mean, it's just to talk about anything, which
absolutely
is fantastic.
So, once again, before we start, welcome to Forever Blue Shirts Radio, powered by ForeverBlueShirts.com. It's great to be joined by these two once again this week. And we're going to have a new segment called Opening Statements, where each of us is going to tell you something that we feel very passionate about, starting with yours truly. The, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but, you know, the boss said that I'm a pretty good host myself,
so I guess
I'll take things off.
Here's just a reminder that I'm the only one with a broadcasting degree, so,
I have a journalism
degree.
Anyway.
Yeah, enjoy Perth Amboy for the rest of your life.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? We're going to ignore that comment for people that live in Perth Amboy that probably listen to us, Kevin. So be nice to them.
This was just directly aimed at JL. I'm sure other people enjoy their lives.
Oh, Kevin, why are you the way that you are?
We're going to get going with Rangers hockey before Kevin gets himself in even more trouble with our fellow New Jersey residents. And I'm going to begin with someone that I owe a big apology to. And that is Mr. Tony DeAngelo. So before the season started, I wrote a piece on ForeverBlueShirts.com about, you know, why Tony DeAngelo is kind of the extra in this whole situation on the defense corps. You know, with guys like Nils Lundqvist and Keandre Miller on the way, and Jacob Trouba, you know, signed for $8 million to be your top defenseman on the right side. You know, you figure, oh, and Adam Fox. How could I forget about Adam Fox's emergence on the blue line as well? You have all these moving pieces. And Tony DeAngelo, you know, coming off a season where, you know, he did well, but, you know, you were hoping to see a little more from him. I originally thought he would be the expendable piece on the blue line. I couldn't have been more wrong, because Tony DeAngelo, in 132 games played over three seasons with the Arizona Coyotes and the two prior seasons with the New York Rangers after the Derek Stepan trade, he had 9 goals and 43 assists for 52 points from the back end. Pretty decent numbers for a young defenseman. And, you know, a lot of people were saying when the Derek Stepan trade happened that we were – looking back on it now, we were starting to be on the losing end of that because of Elias Anderson and the situation he's in, and because Tony DeAngelo wasn't looking like this really good defenseman that people had thought. Fast forward to this season. Tony DeAngelo has emerged as one of the best offensive defensemen, not just on the New York Rangers, but in the entire NHL. Now, we're talking someone who's top 10 in defenseman scoring, who in 44 games played has 11 goals and 25 assists, including a hat trick and 2 assists in a 5-point night just recently. That does not sound like someone who is an expendable piece on the blue line. It sounds like someone who signed a 1-year deal, bet on himself, and proved that he could be an important part of this Rangers blue line as this rebuild moves forward. And you know what? You can never have too many good defensemen. You can never have too many good pieces, because guess what? It just opens other alleys for the team to explore. Maybe trading someone else. Maybe giving Tony DeAngelo a nice extension like Rasmus Anderson just got from the Flames. Maybe a little more of the AAV. Maybe you're looking at a 5-year, maybe 6 mil instead of 5-year, 4.55. So you know what, Tony, I'm sorry. You've been an amazing player for the New York Rangers this season, and I wish you continued success on our blue line. JL? you have something you would like to say too.
Of course. Well,
I mean, we all do. Yes. I can't wait to. Okay. That was great, Russ. That was
No, that was really good.
Yes. Before you start, JL, I owe a big apology to Tony D'Angelo also, only because I was in the exact same boat. It's like, Tony D's been okay. Give him the 1 year deal. We just need it for this year. We have Keandre, we have Nils, and oh man, he's been one of the best. I think he's third in scoring.
Well,
he is third in scoring because I wrote that down.
Well, I can definitely say for sure that I was definitely against you guys and I was on the Tony D train. I think now everyone's starting to realize, you know, the talent that I saw from the beginning. But moving on to the point that I wanted to discuss, you know, good transition, JL. So obviously the New York Rangers currently have a little bit of a quagmire going on in their net situation. That's a word that I've been waiting to use for a while now. So right now, currently the team employs...
It just flowed naturally, man.
Well, because I use it for every little thing, but the team currently has three goalies on the roster, all perfectly fine NHL caliber type goaltenders in Igor Shesterkin. Yes, I am saying it that way. Henrik Lundqvist, and of course our beloved Alexander Georgiev. So obviously, you take a look at the two games that Igor Shesterkin played for the New York Rangers, and he's got a 3.01 goals against average with a 0.926 goals save percentage rather. And then if you look at his numbers in Hartford, he's got a 1.93 goals against average with a 0.932. Save percentage. So obviously we all know that Igor is going to be the guy of the future, but the problem lies now is what do you do with Lundqvist and what do you do with Georgiev? Now, Georgiev is going to be the odd man out, unfortunately, you know, because Henrik Lundqvist, let's be real, as much as all of us logically think that, you know, Henrik Lundqvist can be moved, and I think that's the move that most people would make, and I have a feeling the Rangers would make, don't quote me on that, the Georgiev being younger and having less of a cap hit will end up getting a better return than shipping out a goaltender that's about $8 million in change. So, that being said, you know, it's creating this weird situation going on with the team and everything just feels kind of off. You know, it's affecting all of the goaltenders, including Lundqvist. You know, there was a post that came out from the New York Post written by Larry Brooks, and he asked Henrik how he was dealing with the situation. And Lundqvist just basically said it's an unusual situation and he's going to try and do the best with the opportunity that he's given. It's weird because he's so used to playing every day. You know, this has basically been the linchpin of the franchise for the last, you know, 11, 12 or so years. So now we need to see what will the Rangers get from Georgiev, what will they get from Lundqvist in terms of playstyle, and how exactly do you shoehorn Shesterkin in once Georgiev is traded? Do you give Shesterkin more starts towards the end of the year? Does Henrik Lundqvist take that mantle? Do they split it evenly? It's a very weird situation, but it's also a good situation for the Rangers right now because they can maximize their asset value in terms of what they can get into return. And obviously, that being said, I'll hand it over to Kevin. We're talking about the arrival of Igor Shesterkin. Now, with his play and with the way the team is currently constructed, do you think the Rangers can be a playoff team?
Oh, definitely not. Unfortunately, as good as Igor has been, the Rangers don't play the same in front of Igor. I mean, in front of Hank as they do with Igor, even Alex Georgiev at certain points. You know, Hank is going to be here, which means he's going to get a good chunk of the starts. He's not going to be that. He's not going to get taken over by Igor. The Rangers have too much respect for him. And if you have a problem with that, I mean, it's just the truth. You can't do anything about that. So, you know, besides the goaltending issue, which once Georgiev is gone, it would be a non-factor. You know, you got to look at the scoring. Unfortunately, the scoring just isn't like the Rangers are scoring better than they did last year. Obviously, Artemi Panarin is on the top with 62 points, and then Strom is the second most at 41, and that's a huge margin. It's a huge difference, and like, I know Strom has been great, and like I apologize to Ryan Strom. because I apologize to Tony D'Angelo and I apologize to Ryan Strom. I love the trade, Ryan Spooner for Ryan Strom. That was great. The steal. No matter what happened with that, we won. But Ryan Strom has really proven to be a decent center. He's proven to, you know, up his game. And you could say all you want about him centering Panarin and him centering, you know, Kreider or whoever. But he's been solid. He's been that guy that, you know, you can rely on. You know, if you really look at it, his shooting percentage, that was a huge factor for a lot of people. It's like, oh, he's 22.5%. That's huge. Now he dropped that at 16.7%. So he's taking more shots, which means he's involved in the offense. So his average time of ice went up from 15.51 to 19.25, and his faceoff percentage even increased slightly. So he does look like a good player. Now, do I say he looks like a player that deserves 5 years? No. He looks like a player that deserves a bridge deal. He's 26 years old. You get him at 29. He's still, if you don't want him after this, when you might have all your prospects ready, then he could test the market and still get a solid deal. Because if you get him any more, who wants to go into the market at 31? Nobody. So going back to the scoring, we have Strom at 41 points, Tony D at 36, Mika Zibanejad at 35, who played in 13 less games than everybody else, Chris Kreider with 29, Pavel Buchnevich 25, he only has 7 goals, that's not good, Fox with 24, Trouba with 21, Foss with 18, and Shea with 18. 4 of those top 10 are defensemen. That's a huge problem. Your defense should not be outscoring your offense. It's a good problem to have when you're competing. It's a good problem to have if your defense is fully in, but it's a bad thing if nobody else is towing the line the way they should be. Your 10th best player has scored 18 points. It's not good. Now, Chris Kreider is getting traded. Georgiev is getting traded. And that means you're losing these consistent guys that you have, and the Rangers just won't be able to make up for that because Chris Kreider, even though he isn't scoring the way we want him to, the way we drafted him for, you're still losing Chris Kreider. You're still losing that size, that skill, that tipping ability, just the penalty killing, the power play time. You're losing a solid veteran that you've had in your core for years. Now, Elliot Friedman reported recently that the Rangers are listening on offers for Georgiev, but won't move him unless they get an NHL-ready forward prospect, which doesn't seem too difficult to get. So he's definitely going to be gone, and it's just hopefully at this point in February, the Rangers prove me wrong, and it's like, they're great. But I digress. John Davidson has said that they are committed to this rebuild to the long term, and it's what's best for the Rangers. It's the best success for the franchise, and therefore, it doesn't look like they'll be buyers. It looks like they'll be sellers, and most of these NHL guys are going to be gone, which leaves them short-staffed.
Kevin, can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Can you breathe after saying all that?
Yeah, I'm good.
No, very insightful, Kevin. Very
Thank
insightful.
You.
I agree. And you know, Kevin, I like the point that you say that they want to get an NHL-ready prospect, NHL-ready forward back for Georgiev. And you know, I've been seeing a lot of these Georgiev trade rumors on Twitter, but the one that I think is, well, pretty, that I really like back would be Jeremy Bracco from the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that would be a really good guy to get back. I've seen people, you know, people always worry about size. People worry that Bracco hasn't cracked the NHL roster yet, but it's not because of his skill that he hasn't. It's because the Leafs kind of have a logjam at forward, and they have a lot of skill guys at forward.
So I think Bracco would be.
Yeah, local boy. So Bracco would be really, like, he'd be a nice piece, I feel like, for this rebuild. He'd have a spot in the bottom six. Another guy who I'd love, who, Jim, you're going to love me for this one because you won't shut up about him, is Nick Robertson. Nick Robertson is a fantastic player. He played for the United States in the World Junior Championship. The kid lit it up. The Leafs are looking like one of the smartest teams for picking him in the second round, I believe, either last year or 2 years ago. Fantastic young player who I'd love to get back for Georgiev, but I don't know if that's the route the Rangers would go, and I don't know if the Leafs would give him up. But, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, what teams need a goaltender. San Jose Sharks need goaltending bad. Martin Jones has looked absolutely terrible this year. You know, the Leafs, you can't have Frederick Anderson play 75 games again, and Michael Hutchinson has not been that good. You know, you could keep going around the league for teams that need backup goalies, teams that, you know, need goaltending help. So there's going to be a deal out there for Gorton to take. There's going to be a deal that he's going to like. And going up to the deadline, you know, there's going to be some team that's going to pull the trigger and maybe pay a little more. And, you know, speaking of NHL-ready prospects and NHL-ready forwards, the rest of the Rangers thought they were getting when they drafted Elias Anderson in 2017. And it appears that things have really not gone the way the team, the player, the agent, or his family envision this going. Elias Andersson is currently back in Sweden. He, based on interviews, based on translations, based on reporters who have spoken with his agent and his family, he kind of needs a little bit of a reset. He didn't seem he was very happy in North America. It didn't seem he was happy with a lot of the things the New York Rangers were doing within the organization. And he, based on what we've read, based on what people are saying and reporters are saying, he is dealing with some mental health issues. And disclaimer, before we even go any further on this issue, I deal with mental health issues. A lot of people that I know deal with mental health issues. A lot of people around the world deal with these types of things. This is not something to joke about. This is not something to make crude remarks on Twitter about. This is not something to say Elias Andersson doesn't have it in him about, because I've seen every take around the sun about this kid. If Elias Andersson is really dealing with all of this stuff, and he needs to deal with this in his own time, okay, this is still a really young kid who's finding his way through the professional hockey world, okay? So before we go any further on Elias Andersson here, it's important to point this out. Let him spend some time with his family back home. Let him maybe spend some time in Sweden, and maybe the Rangers should possibly lend him to an SHL club to let him get that playing time in. Elias Andersson, from all of us here at the website and the podcast, get well soon. Take all the time you need, my friend. You know, get well, and then hockey will follow after that. Your mental health comes first. So with that, I'm going to leave it to Kevin first here. Kevin, it's a very complicated issue. Elias Andersson was picked very high, and a lot was expected of him early based on what people were saying about him. NHL ready, he can fill in this, that, and the other thing. I'm not going to just ask you for your take on this because that's too wide open here. What do you think is the best course of action for Elias Andersson to take at this step in his career?
What he's doing now is probably the best case scenario for him, given all the circumstances. I personally, if I were him, and I believe his agent, you know, said he's not suffering with mental illness at the moment. It was a combination of, you know, injuries and certain cases that might have or might not have happened in the AHL and the NHL levels. You know, it's a lot of fuzzy stuff. But if I were him, I would just take a step back, like you said, Russ, and just evaluate. You know, not play for an SHL team, maybe not play for anybody at the moment, and just kind of focus on his health. You know, I saw an article where he says he might get new skates from Bauer that actually might mold his foot properly so he feels more comfortable skating. You know, sometimes some of these things actually do come down to injuries where it's like, you know, I have to skate this way, I have to perform this way, you're doing too much, and it's just, you're going to, everything builds up. But, you know, John Davidson, you know, wants to meet with him, but Elias Andersson really only wants to talk through his agent, as we've heard. I'm not saying this is fact 100%, but this is what we've heard, this is what we're reporting on. But, you know, Elias Andersson needs to do, like you said, what's best for himself. You know, he's still young, he's still a young guy. He only got drafted a few years ago. It's not like he got drafted years and years and, you know, this is the guy who's 26 now, it's like, that's it, we got to give up on him. No, he's still young. So whatever he's dealing with, the fact that he was up, he's not playing a lot, he gets sent down, then he gets hurt, he doesn't show that he's hurt, it's a combination of so many things. But, you know, Jail, I don't know if I've said everything, but, you know, do you agree with this? Do you disagree with this? Like, how do you think that he could really, you know, show face that he's not just bailing on his career?
Well, it's a very gray situation in the sense of it, you know, we really don't know what's going on. I mean, you could see it from just the way he was playing on the ice. Even though the previous seasons didn't result in much production, you could see that he was a little bit more engaged in the play. So we can't really say if it's mental health or not, because we have to, you know, we can all assume. And if it is mental health, then obviously we hope he gets the help that he needs and all that. But then you have the report about his agent, like you said, coming out and basically refuting it. And if Elias is speaking primarily through his agent, that's what we have to go with at the moment. So we can't exactly just say, hey, this is the case and it's not. It's a very non-linear situation that can just, we really just don't know. It's a very odd thing. You know, if he needs to go to Sweden and he needs to heal up, he needs to fix whatever problems he has with his lower body and whatever things in his mind that he needs to clear up, then you know what? go ahead. Again, it's like you mentioned, he's still very young. He's what, 20, 21 years old? I mean, yep. he has the opportunity to be in the National Hockey League, but let's be real here. I doubt each and every one of you, and you will all agree with me on this, really knew exactly what was going through your head at the age of 21. I certainly did not, you know? I mean, in terms of, you know, how life is in a sense. You really don't get a full grasp on things until you're really, you know, 24, 25, you know? And maybe for some people it's different, but in Lias's case, it just seems as if he hasn't really gotten a grip on things yet. You know what? That's perfectly fine. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's fine. You also gotta think the Rangers didn't have a first round pick for years before this happened. They finally got a first round pick, but then they decided they wanted more, so they did make that trade with Arizona to get the 7th overall pick to get Lias Anderson. And now he's looked at, like Russell said, as this like not a savior, but like he's the NHL ready guy. He's gonna help right now. And at that time the Rangers were in a playoff hunt. They still had pieces before the Reba, before the letter, where it's like Lias Anderson's going to come. He's going to help right now. He's going to play third line. He might play fourth line. But he's going to be ready, and he's going to make everybody around him better. Mm-hmm. That's
absolutely
a lot of pressure to
no,
put on
is.
A kid.
No, absolutely.
If you look at Capo Caco, it's the same thing. You can't put this pressure on these 18, 19-year-olds. And, you know, some people I've seen on Twitter say, oh, no, maybe you should put Caco down to the AHL. It did wonders for Filipino. Yeah, it did, but look, you could say it the same thing with Lias Anderson. Look how bad it did for Lias Anderson.
Yeah, exactly.
Already in the AHL, comes up, starts with the team, and then he's basically replaced with, you know, one of his better friends, the guy who he spent his first year at AHL with. So you can make an argument for either one, but the worst case is Lias Anderson, where it's just he's hiding injuries that we know of, you know, speculating.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not looking great. He's not playing great. And it's evident in his face, and I think it was either Greg or Ricky, the guys who cover Hartford for the ForeverBlueShirts.com, powered us. Great. Thank you, eh? But, you know, they said that there was like this skate or there was like this, like some event that they went to, and it looked like Lias Anderson was skating by himself. And I don't know if this was just, you know, they saw it in passing or this or that, but you know, having teammates, having guys to have your back, and if you're not with the guys you're with every single day and making a bond, that hurts, man. You're like the odd man out.
Absolutely.
On a thing that you've made your whole life. This is your whole life, essentially.
And to add to that,
I blame the guy for wanting to go home and like recuperate.
Yeah.
But again, this is all hearsay up until like Lias Anderson comes out and says, this is what happened. Because the agent can only say so much.
So much, exactly. And to add to that, there was, I think there were, you know, instances of bullying. And I don't know exactly where or how that came up or exactly, you know, I think the Swedish reporter, Johan Rylander said, if he had been bullied, and Anderson, replied, he didn't know what to say or what to answer. He said, it's been tough. That's it. I will tell you when it's the right time. That's what his agent got from mm-hmm, Anderson. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to, like you said, it's really hard to get a real determination until we actually hear from him, you know, whether it's bullying or such. But it's just a real vague situation, and we just hope Lias comes back and he can come back to the organization, because it seems like the Rangers they didn't understand what was going on, and it seems like they want to correct it. So that's good on them for doing
John
that.
John Davidson says he wants to go out and see him personally.
100%. And you know the Rangers want him to succeed. They don't want this situation to drag on.
Whether this is a PR stunt or not, like I doubt it is.
It's definitely
not. You know,
not.
This still seems like it is the best for the whole situation and as the organization and Lias Anderson to have someone from the high brass go out. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. I mean, look, like JL said, when we were 21 years old, you know, you don't really know what direction your life is going to go. You think you have all the answers. You think you know exactly what's going to happen, but you don't know. And, you know, Lias Anderson, for everything that's happened, for all the controversy early in the year with him not getting playing higher in the lineup, for, you know, apparently him not being happy, sent down to Hartford, and now back in Europe, I mean, you just want something normal for this kid for a little while. You want him to have a sense of normalcy. You want him to have a sense of, you know, just he can breathe, so he can take a deep breath, because look, he sees all this going on. Like Kevin even said about Filipino, his friend who's having a great season on Broadway now. You see a guy like Capo Caco comes in, was expected to, you know, play so well. Adam Fox, even another rookie who comes in, immediately starts playing well. And you got to feel for Elias Sanderson here that things aren't going his way right now. So, Elias, like we've all been saying, man, and especially the New York Rangers management, you know they want to get this fixed. You know they want to help Anderson any way they can. And you know that the situation is going to get resolved as soon as it can. So we actually, moving on from Elias Sanderson, we have another new segment this week. And this segment is called Rangers Trivia. And it will be hosted by a different one of us every week. And this week's host is none other than the host of the late program, Perth Amboy's number one public access TV show, John Luke Shapiro. JL,
Woo! Trivia
time, take it away.
Cue the music and the go horn, ladies and gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of Rangers Trivia. I am JL, speaking like a crooner from the 1920s. All right.
Do we have to do this one? No, host. Which I'm assuming I would like to.
Well, if you want to do it,
just
feel
like a regular,
free.
Carnival bar guy over here.
Alrighty. Well, if you want me to do the voice, I'll keep doing it. Okay.
No. Just talk, JL. Come on.
Okay.
Give us questions.
All right. So basically, it's real simple. It's going to give you each five open-ended multiple choice questions, and whoever has the most is the winner and will not get verbally abused by our dear leader, which is who also runs foreverblueshirts.com.
You know, Russ, you should take a dive, because me and JL got verbally abused on air last week. So
I did.
Let me just win.
I heard all of that last week. You know,
yeah, but you didn't get verbally abused.
You didn't get verbally abused.
No, I mean, I just got complimented. I mean, that's okay with me.
Okay. Question number one. This one was a little bit more for the older crowd. They as soon as they hear the name, they will know the answer, I know for sure. Okay. Question number one. Six Sutter brothers, Brent, Brian, Daryl, Dwayne, Rich, and Ron, reached the NHL in the 1970s and 80s. How many of them played for the Rangers? Is it A, 3, B, 2, C, 1, or D, none? Kevin? Your answer.
Oh, you went the other way.
That's tough, Kevin.
So it's 3, 2, 1, or 0 in that order. You know, I'm gonna be bold and say B2.
Russell, your answer.
Mm-hmm. You, and this is Sutter, not Suter, correct?
Sutter, yes.
Sutter.
You know, I'm gonna have to agree with Kevin. I think two.
Womp, 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 womp. You are both incorrect.
Oh,
the answer is D, none.
Oh,
collectively, the Sutter brothers played nearly 5,000 NHL games for 12 different teams. The Islanders, Blackhawks, Blues, Penguins, Flyers, Canucks, Leafs, Lightning, Nordiques, Bruins, Sharks, and Flames. None of those teams are the New York Rangers.
Honestly, I have to applaud JL. That was a good one.
That's a question that I was expecting, like, some, like, 1940s Rangers trivia, but he took, like, took it out of left field. Here we go. I'm ready for this.
Question number two. This is an easy one. If you don't get this, then you're either blind or you didn't see it. This Ranger celebrated scoring a shorthanded goal by holding his stick like a rifle and pretending to shoot Lightning goalie Mathieu Garon, an act of showboating that triggered a melee, resulting in 38 minutes of penalties.
Amazing game. Amazing game.
Yes, which they lost, by the way.
They lost, but if you haven't seen those highlights, please go watch them.
So here are the possibilities. It's either A, Nikolai Antropov, B, Ruslan Fenitenko, C, Nikolai Zhardev, or D, Artem Anisimov. Russell, your answer.
That was I remember watching that game live and seeing that celebration, and then seeing Artem Anisimov after the crazy pile up in the corner was like, what did I do? So I will never forget that. The answer is D, Artem Anisimov.
I'm pretty sure we watched that together and we were losing it. Definitely D.
You are both correct. That was a very easy one. It is Artem Anisimov, not one to intentionally show up an opponent. Anisimov quickly apologized for his excessive goal celebration. The good thing about that was Anisimov, they had him on, that was the year of the War of the Winter Classic, so they had him behind the scenes, and you see Artie walking Sean Avery was walking into the clubhouse, and you can see Artie sitting there, he's laughing at him.
I remember Artie said, I think you can hear him say on the camera, he goes, he's a salty guy, and everyone's just laughing at him. It was great.
Okay, fantastic. Here we go. Question number three. Tied at one. He scored at 4:07 of overtime in Game 5 of the 1974 quarterfinals to give the Rangers a 3-2 win over the Montreal Canadiens. Who is this? Is
I know
it
this
A,
one.
Ron Harris, B, Walt Tkachuk, C, Bruce McGregor, or D, Gene Carr?
Oh, it's not who I thought it was. Can you go over the choices one more time?
Yeah, one more time. Give me the choices.
A, Ron Harris, B, Walt Tkachuk, C, Bruce McGregor, or D, Gene Carr?
I'm going to go Walt Tkachuk here.
I was actually thinking that too. You got to stop taking my answers, Muscle.
So you both go for B.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Walt Tkachuk here.
Incorrect. It is Ron Harris, a defenseman playing.
Killed.
Listen to this. A defenseman.
This isn't fair. You do lesser-known Rangers, JL.
Look, here's an interesting little tidbit. You can tie this in. A, Ron Harris, a defenseman playing right wing in that game. Sound familiar? He beat Montreal goaltender Bunny Larocque with a one-timer off a pass from Pete Stemkowski, color guy for the New York Rangers radio broadcast.
I'm going to tell you right now, I thought Pete Stemkowski was the answer to this question.
No, Pete Stemkowski, I think, scored against the
I think that's some
Hawks?
That's some brownie points for you, Russ.
I thought, maybe, I hope so.
Here we go. Question number
half a point, maybe.
Question number four. This player was cut by the Rangers on Thanksgiving. Is it A, Richie Pilon, B, Rod Gilbert, C, Rem Murray, or D, Eddie Jockman?
No.
It wasn't Jockman.
No, definitely not.
It wasn't Rod Gilbert.
Go over A and C again.
Yeah.
A is Rich Pilon, and C is Rem Murray. Rem spelled R-E-M.
We got to split this up, so I'll go C.
All right, and I'll go A.
Incorrect, both of you. It is actually B, Rod Gilbert.
Wow.
Yeah, really?
Before the start of the 77-78 season, Gilbert found himself in a tense contract negotiation with GM John Ferguson. Following a 15-day holdout, Gilbert returned to play 19 games before being cut by the club on Thanksgiving Day. It was Ferguson's way of flushing out the last of the Emil Francis era Rangers, and Gilbert never forgave him for it.
Clearly, you can see me and Kevin need to do our homework a little bit.
I mean, like, anything before 2002 is, like, all JL territory.
All right, let's see.
At least specifically. Like, we get the general crux.
Okay, so
here's question five.
You guys, this is a tiebreaker here. So you guys need to make sure you either pick...
We are tied one apiece.
One apiece.
I got to think of some really obscure ones just for JL.
Well, I probably will get it wrong because my brain is mush. But anyways, here we go.
Yeah, I'm not good under pressure.
Says the man who's an engineer.
I have time to think, JL.
Fill the spelling now! Design stuff!
Number 10.
Yeah, that doesn't happen ever.
Actually, number 5. I'm looking at a different piece of paper that has us at number 10. Prior to joining the New York Rangers, this winger lost half of his left thumb in a bizarre farming accident. Is it A, Pat Verbeek? Is it B, Steve Vickers? Is it C, Wally Hergesheimer? Or is it D, Mike Keane?
I'll go D, Mike Keane. Only because I feel like the C
farming
choice is
accident?
Made up.
You know what? I don't know why. I'm going to go Steve Vickers.
Both of you, incorrect.
Oh, come on.
It was actually Pat Verbeek. During the offseason in 1985, Verbeek was working on a corn planting machine on his 200-acre farm in Ontario. He accidentally slipped into the machinery and his left hand went directly into the moving auger, slicing off his thumb between the knuckles. Pat's brother Brian rushed him to the hospital, but they forgot to bring the thumb. Pat's father Jerry rushed over to Pat's farm, found the thumb in one of the machine's fertilizer bins, and transported it to the hospital where doctors managed to successfully reattach it. Verbeek's hockey career was saved. Here we go. Let's give you guys a tiebreaker. See if you guys might get this one.
Maybe.
Let's see.
Do you have a tiebreaker ready? I thought this was like a total thing.
Well, it was until both of you guys started getting them wrong. So whoever gets the next question right wins.
I'm sorry to know who lost their thumb.
Educated guess, my
friend. In my lifetime.
All of these... during the 1992 semifinals against New Jersey, this Rangers set a club record for scoring 6 goals in one series. Is it A, Adam Graves, B, Mike Gartner, C, Mark Messier, or D, Tony Amonte? Think hard, because it's not the answer you think.
Okay. What year did you say again?
1992. So this is.
I want to say Graves.
All I'm saying is it's not the answer that you're gonna think it is.
So it's definitely not Messier.
I'm gonna say it's Mike Gartner.
Guys, Russell Hartman is our trivia champion for this week. It's Mike Gartner. During that performance, Gartner still faced criticism about his postseason play. He might have finally proven his detractors wrong had the Rangers not dealt him to the Maple Leaf for Glenn Anderson in 94, and one of the big several moves they made to win the Stanley Cup that year. So Gartner led the Rangers that series by scoring 6 goals.
If I could take one trade back from that 94 team, it would have been to keep Mike Gartner. Because I think they still would have won that cup, I think, with Mike Gartner. Because you know what? It's a shame that Mike Gartner does not have a Stanley Cup. It is a shame.
Absolutely not. I agree with you 100%. And also, just to let everyone know, that is all Rangers trivia for this week. And I have to give a huge credit to, first of all, Russell for giving me this book. But it's most of the trivia contained in that book was 100 Things Rangers Fans Should Know Before They Die by Adam Rader with Russ Cohen. So those guys did a bang-up job on that book. So that is our trivia for this week.
Now I gotta get it before JL goes again.
Hey, Kevin, good news. I have that book, so we're going to get more questions from that soon.
Don't worry. I'm the host next week. And I said it, so it's me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our new segment for trivia. This is going to be a weekly thing where Kevin, Jale, and I embarrass ourselves by not knowing the answers to these questions. But we're going to have a good time with it. So, moving on to our Twitter question segment of the show. Kevin, what is the Twitter question we are answering this week?
So, unfortunately, I lost it, but I think he is a regular listener, so I hope he understands this is his. He wanted us to do some prospect... profiles, and I told him that most likely the Rangers pick will land between somewhat like 7 to 15, depending on where they do finish in the standings. So he wants us to give us like a not so obvious profile for these guys, guys that we might not hear of. So unfortunately, JL is a jerk and didn't do one, so it's just me and Russ for this. I chose WHL's Connor Zary. Now, if you don't already know, I don't like a lot of junior hockey players, only because stats can be really deceiving. But I really like this kid's play. Unfortunately, he missed the 2019 draft by 6 days last year. So he's one of the older players sent to the 2020 entry draft, exactly opposite from Filippito. He's an all-around player for his WH team. The, get this, Kamloops Blazers.
Yo, the Kamloops? That is a great name. They have great jerseys.
I love it. I love that name. I love their jerseys. He's playing for a great organization for the Kamloops Blazers. So right now he plays top line minutes, plays a power play, plays penalty kill, and from 2017 to 2018, and then to 2018-2019, he basically doubled his point total and then some. Now he's currently posting 53 points in 37 games for the Blazers. And the kid looks phenomenal. A lot of reporters are saying he's a crafty, smart, and versatile player, and is seen as one of the, if not the most well-rounded player in this upcoming draft. He's a center, but his size really is his downfall. He's 5'9", about 180, so we could see his size increase over the couple years, but don't really hold your breath for it. He uses his body in smart and effective ways. He is good on the puck. He's able to maintain control. He, scratches off defenders. He prolongs time in the offensive zone. And he's not letting any shortcomings become liabilities. And it's extremely impressive. If you really do want to see some plays, I will most likely post the Some of the links that I did find of him, very impressive. Not even just the goals and the assists, just his overall play and his versatility. Most see him as a second line center. So we do see like a Derek Stepan, a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins kind of type of player. You know, he is older, like I said, so compared to the rest of his potential draft class, he's more mature and he's more ready than anybody else. So we do really see a quick turnaround. 2 years, not three or four, that, you know, most WHL, Qs, all these guys that take time to get up here. You know, with the defense and the goaltending prospect pool the Rangers really have, it's clogged up. Forward really seems like the way to go. I really do see the Rangers picking the forward this draft. I don't see them picking a defenseman because we're logjammed. Goaltending isn't going to be a problem with Igor. We do have Tyler Wall. We have Lindblom or Blom. Blom?
Bom. Lindbom.
Why do I think Olaf it's Bloom?
Lindbom.
So a center would be probably the best option. We're kind of weak at center. Ryan Strome might not be here. Russell says that I'm a jerk, so whatever.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. He. If you watch his World Junior Classic from last year, the U18s, he makes a lot of good plays. He has a good stride, and he really makes up for it. You know, he's just really small, which might be his downfall. It might push him back to like the later teens, early 20s. But you know, his skill set's fantastic. His stick is awesome. Watch the kid's highlights. He's unbelievable. He makes smart plays, and he's doing things that, you know, might get him in trouble in the NHL, but the fact that he could do it now with such skill and, like, poise can translate into his game in a couple of years. So if they do call his name come June, expect this to be a pretty good pick, especially if they get him for a steal around 15-16.
Kevin, thank you for that. Connor Zary is a very interesting prospect. One I admittedly don't know too much about, so thank you for the profile.
Of course.
My guy is a guy from the European side of things. His name is Jan Misak. He currently has 5 goals and 4 assists for 9 points in 26 games for HC Litvinov in the Czech League. So Misak is a very interesting prospect. He is currently ranked 9th on the international skaters list for the upcoming 2020 draft. He's been looked at as someone with a lot of skill, good hands, good shot. But, you know, he wasn't getting kind of all the time that he needed in for HC Litvinov in the Czech League. So after his performance in the World Junior Championship and after being picked in the import draft by the Hamilton Bulldogs, he decided that it's time for him to come over. So Jan will be playing with the Hamilton Bulldogs for the rest of the season, hoping to have more of an offensive impact as he increases his draft stock for the 2020 draft. Misak is a winger and a center. He can play both forward positions. He is 5'10". He's 180 pounds. He's a guy that the Rangers, I think, will be very interested in because the Rangers don't really like the Canadian Junior League for some reason with their scouting. They seem to really like the European side of things. So I think Jan would be a good pick in anywhere between the, honestly, 10-20 range, which I think the Rangers could possibly end up in depending on how things shake out. With the move to Hamilton, a lot is expected of Misak, specifically to increase his offensive output, and he has the talent to do it. And the hope is that he'll be playing with Arthur Kaliev, who was a Kings pick in the 2019 draft, who was a guy I wanted the Rangers to pick just due to his shot, due to the, you know, fact that he scored 50 last year for Hamilton. And now he'll be joined by a guy like Misak, who hopefully the two of them create some magic for the Hamilton Bulldogs for the rest of the season. So between Connor Zary and Jan Misak, you have a kid who, you know, kind of flew a little under the radar since he was 6 days under the limit for the 19 draft. And you have Connor Zary, and you have a guy in Jan Misak who, coming over from Europe, coming over from the Czech League, is hoping to make more of an offensive impact before the 2020 draft and will hopefully help spark Hamilton to a nice second half, playing on what they hope is having chemistry alongside Arthur Kaliev. So I hope we answered your question, whoever your Twitter user is, because
I'll
Kevin lost
it,
your handle. But Kevin
I didn't
will,
lose
Kevin
it. It's been
you.
Like a week.
Kevin will at
I will at you, and I really hope you listen, whoever you are. Random and Twitter guy.
Finally, before we leave you guys this week, we are not going to predict the Islanders game tonight because you're going to know what's going to happen since this comes out on Wednesday. But we're going to give you our predictions for the Islanders game on Thursday, the Jackets game on Sunday, and the Islanders game next week before the All-Star break.
Yeah, three times in a week is a little excessive, NHL. Fix
a little excessive.
Your damn
it's gonna be
schedule.
They could have given one of these games right when that big stretch happened. between the Ottawa game and the Oilers game. They could at least throw, like, here's the Islanders.
You don't need to play at least two times in a week. Let's play seven times in a week first, and then zero times in 3 weeks.
So to break this down, each of us is going to take one of the games. We're going to give you how we think the game is going to play out, give you a mini storyline of who's scoring, who's making the saves. So I will start here. And Thursday, this is how your game script is going to go. First period, we're going to get a goal from Kaapo Kakko, and he's going to break out. It's going to start the breakout. The Rangers are going to win 3-1 off a goal from Kaapo Kakko. Two more goals from Tony DeAngelo. 3 points from Panarin and Zibanejad each in a 3-1 win.
Wait. Not bad. I thought we were all predicting this and then going to see who wins at the end of next week.
Oh, is that what you want to do instead?
Yeah, let's do that.
I like your Kakko and Tony D goal.
Okay, so we can do that. All right, so so we just predicting scores here. Is this how you guys want to do it?
But
before we move on, let's just make sure that even though the scores may not be accurate, bonus points if they are, but it all depends on whether it's going to be a win
or a loss,
and if the score is close to the prediction. So we have to factor that in as well.
Closest without going over.
Yes.
I will take a 3-0 Igor Shesterkin shutout on Thursday against the New York Islanders.
Whoa. Now, wait. Now you predicted that he's starting on Thursday.
Oh, he absolutely is going
to
start.
Yeah, definitely. Igor has to start.
I'm going to say 3-0 Igor Shesterkin, 45 save shutout on Thursday.
He's not bad.
He's going in.
Oh, you think so?
Two goals from Kakko, one from Tony D. I'm predicting a 6-3 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Gosh, I hope
Sunday,
so.
With about 35 saves, give or take, from Henrik Lundqvist and a hat trick from Artemi Panarin against his former club.
Wow.
And for next Tuesday against the Islanders again, I'm predicting a very, very close 3-2 shootout win with Shesterkin making about 37 saves and, of course, getting the winner in the shootout, Adam Fox.
Wow. That's very informative.
What'd you say, 32 saves in that win?
37, my friend.
37 saves. Jesus.
Kevin's writing it down.
I am writing it down. I need to make sure that he's this specific with an Adam Fox shootout winner.
Shootout goal. That's...
Now, if I'm right with any of this, that would be pretty impressive.
I think of it this way. If you get all these right, each one is a point. But if you get them wrong, you get a minus.
Oh, we're doing... All right, I don't think it should be minus.
Okay, no, let's do minuses just to blow our confidences.
The normal points and then, like, extra points. We'll amass both of them.
All right, so, JL,
let's go.
So, the Thursday game against the Islanders, I think it'll be a 5-4 Rangers loss. Henrik Lundqvist will be in that game. I'm almost positive he will. And if I'm wrong, please blast me on Twitter. It'll be 5-4. They will lose because of a defensive turnover. I think Kaapo Kakko scores. I think Panarin scores. And I think Filippito scores. And I also think Tony DeAngelo scores that game. Now, transitioning into Sunday's game, which I will be at. No big deal.
Don't worry. I'm going to be at the next week's game.
I think they beat Columbus 4-2. I think they get an empty netter by Artemi Panarin. Georgiev will start that game. That's just my prediction. And also Zibanejad will get one, and Kreider will probably end up getting a goal too, and maybe Jesper Fast or someone on the fourth line. And then the Tuesday game, I think...
Tuesday
versus the Islanders. I think they will win that game. I think they will win. They will win. Let's go 6-5.
6-5. You got it, buddy. That's a shootout. It's hanging that
well,
again.
Dave. Well, no. This will be. Let's just say this will be Igor's first bad game. Let's just say.
Oh man.
So
that's a
6-5.
Prediction and a half, right?
It'll
there.
Be in overtime. And Ryan Strome will get the overtime winner. And I also think Panarin will also score in that game. And I also think, check this out, Greg McKegg scores a goal.
Oh,
McKegg!
I think Kegger will end up potting the back of the net somehow. Now, I will guarantee you we'll listen to this once all this happens, and we'll probably be terribly off base.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
But,
we're definitely going to be wrong. But
don't worry. Because
do you have all this
prediction.
Down, Kevin? You wrote all this
and
down?
And of course...
Yeah, of course.
So you know what you should do before Kevin
I will read them back to you to make sure.
No,
that's
post
okay.
them on no. the Twitter page.
Oh,
so
we
can
yeah.
refer to it. It's real.
Yes, yeah, so
it's real.
We don't, so we
Kevin,
can, yeah.
Kevin, give us your Nostradamus predictions, my friend.
So Georgian's going to start tomorrow. Oh, no, tonight. Tonight's Monday.
Tonight's Monday.
Monday.
Kevin, yes, nice going new days, my friend. Good job.
It's all confusing. Leave me alone. So Georgian starts today. I do think that Igor does start. I think he will give up 3 goals like he has been, but also save 42 shots.
Okay.
I also think that Panarin might score 2 goals. So it might be a 4-3 win. The other two, I'm not even gonna touch on. That's too specific. You guys
wow.
are like 17 people. Can someone else write this while I'm talking? Jeez.
Russell,
JL, fine.
Look,
whatever.
Kevin, you lay in your own bed, man. You remember what you you
Thanks.
You
no,
reap
you don't
what
need
you sow.
We're gonna read this back to you later. But, oh, I guess that's what I said. No. Columbus, I do think that Panarin's going to have another good game. I think he's going to keep it rolling with another 2 goals and an assist. So 3 points from Panarin. I think Hank starts that, but also gives up 5 goals and a 3-5 loss.
Oof. Oh, you know.
Against Columbus at home. Sorry. But
come
Panarin
on.
Does get 3
Shame
points.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. And you want to know who gets the 3rd goal? I
who
think our boy, Jacob Trouba.
Oh, good.
No, that's a nice bad prediction. Not at all.
Yeah. I think he just shot during the power play. I'll even say that. Power play goal from Trouba.
Kevin, please give us your Tuesday one.
I will give you my Tuesday.
Russell's like, hurry up.
I think Georgiev goes back in net, depending on how he plays this Monday, because today's Monday. I think Georgiev stops 38 shots
Ooh,
for a shutout.
Ah.
And it's a 1-0 win with Filipino getting the goal.
Ooh, you know what? I like it. I like it. I like all these predictions, and it's going to be great when I win, and I have 3 points next week, so it's going to be wonderful.
Oh,
so from all of us here at the Forever Blue Shirts Radio Podcast, thank you to Mr. John-Luke Shapiro. Thank you to Mr. Kevin Krupe. This was fun. We're going to keep these segments going. And as always, let's go Rangers!
You've been listening to 4B Radio, powered by ForeverBlueShirts.com.